Open your Bible, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. I want to give you just a few little points here designed to simplify some things for us and help you receive today and maybe help you minister healing to somebody. Mark chapter 10, Jesus said this, verse 13, says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased." This is Mark 10, 14. "And he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" Stop there. Coming to God requires that we do it simply, like a little child. The opposite would be a sophisticated adult. If you want to get something from God, you're going to have to approach Him with childlike faith. What is that? That means simple belief. That means without all of your baggage. Little children have a cleaner slate. They don't come to God with baggage. They come saying, "Okay." They hear a promise, "Okay." You and I are going to have to do that with God when it comes to covenant promises. You're going to have to get simple about it. You're going to have to get childlike about it. You're going to have to just simply trust Him and say, "Okay, I take that." You with me? The problem is we have lived long and we've got stuff in our souls that you and I have to detect and disconnect from so that we can receive from God. And when it comes to physical healing even, you really have to do it. Okay? Now, one thing about children is they'll usually believe mom and dad when they're told something, whether it's elves built your Christmas presents or whether it's a covenant promise. Children will say okay. When I was 12 years old, mom told me that if I ever got sick, just quote this scripture. It was Isaiah 53:5. I didn't know that. She just quoted it for me. "By his stripes we are healed, by his stripes I am healed." And she said, "Just quote this and quote this until you're healed." She said, "Because so-and-so preacher did it and he was healed, so if you do it, you can be healed." And I just ran off thinking, "Okay, fine." And didn't think about it again until about, it might have been 6 months later, I can't remember, until I got sick and I had an ear infection and I didn't know what to do and I was startled and shocked and thinking hospital, midnight, and then I remembered, "Oh, mom said, oh, just quote the scripture." So I quoted the scripture. "By his stripes I'm healed." So I quoted the scripture again, "By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed." And this went on and on and on for about 15 minutes. I just saying the scripture. And it became so silly to me because spiritual things sometimes sound silly. And, you know, why would quoting a scripture heal anybody? Oh, because there's something supernatural there. Because you're contacting an invisible person is why. And so, as you know, I got healed. I mean, after about 15, 20 minutes, the eardrum popped, completely healed. The power of God was on me. I found the power of God. And in my sharp 12-year-old brain, I'm thinking, I found the secret to health. I just made the greatest discovery of the human race. I have cured all sickness and disease. It was something like that. I thought, "Oh, that settles it. I'll never have to be sick." Mom was right. Why did that work? I just took it like a kid. I didn't sit in my bed thinking, "Oh, well, you know, this is stupid and I don't know why." I didn't do that. I mean, I did question for a moment, "What am I doing?" But it led me to the revelation of the cross. "By his stripes, I am healed." And that's when it happened. It's when it hit my spirit. So don't get all stuck in your brain about your healing. Healing is a very spiritual thing. For you to be healed physically, you have to make the connection spiritually. You don't really make a physical connection, especially if you've been in the Lord for a while. I mean, baby Christians or sinners, sometimes they need really the physical touch. But for us who know some things, you have to make a spiritual connection because the power of God's in the spirit. Then it'll affect your body. So I want to just mention those some things about that. First thing is, you're going to have to come like a little child in order to get healed. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. You need to make a commitment. We need a commitment, really, to catch sickness and disease, to recognize I have a problem and I have a solution. And I'm going to go for the solution. You know, in the Bible, in Exodus 15, 26, talks about where the Lord said, obey the angel, keep his commandments. And if you do, then I won't allow any of the diseases of Egypt upon you, for I am the Lord that heals you. Amen. King James lovers, it says, I am the Lord that healeth you. And that's how we remember it. I am the Lord that healeth you. So that's the English translation. But in the Hebrew language, it says, I am Jehovah, and then one word, Rapha. So the name Jehovah is there, which is the Lord, and then Rapha is who heals you. But it's a name. So God's name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you.
Amen.
Jehovah Rapha is a name. Just like there's other names in the Old Testament that you see the Lord has as part of His nature. One is, you know, Jehovah Nissi, your banner. Jehovah Ra, your shepherd. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. It goes on in Sidkenu, my righteousness. There's a whole list of names that God is. It's part of Him. He is healer.
Amen.
I am the Lord, your healer.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So when you come to the Lord, don't think of it as, I'm going to go see if God will heal me. No, no. He's a healer.
Amen.
That is who He is.
Right.
It's not like, let me go see if He'll sell me a little thing here. Let me see if I can talk Him into selling me the car. No, no. He is the healer.
Amen.
So you got to eliminate some of these other thoughts we have and make it simpler. Because I'm connected to Him, I'm connected to the healer. That solves the thing right there. That solves it right there. That this solves it right there. That solves it right there. I'm connected to the healer. He's my healer. That sells it right there. But we need a commitment to that. When I was a kid, I committed to that. And I grew up with that knowledge that all you got to do is go after Him. All you got to do is be committed to that truth. We have kids in the sanctuary, kids in the church here who, in their family, the kids are keeping everybody honest.
Amen.
The kids are confessing Scripture and getting healed more than the parents. And you have to recognize that, parents, that your children are getting some miracles more than you because they're children. And they're doing it the right way. What's the right way? Childlike way. They're doing it with the simple faith. They're not carrying the baggage that you're carrying. So be encouraged, be spurred by the kids. How about that? We can all do it. It's just harder for us, you know, stuck adults. You bunch of thick-headed adults have a harder time getting healed. But you don't have to.
Amen.
So let's simplify things today. Let's take some obstacles out of the way for us today. Come like a little child and you can have it. Matter of fact, Jesus said that's the children's bread. Healing is actually the children's bread. Healing is actually the most basic substance or sustenance of a child or of a Christian. Liken it to a natural family. Parents never withhold food from their children. Maybe too much food, but parents always feed their children. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Even if their child hasn't been too great lately. Isn't that right? Good children get to come to the table. Bad children get to come to the table.
Amen.
All children get to eat because they're children. And they're relying on you to feed them.
That's right.
It would be abuse if you didn't feed them.
That's right. Amen.
So don't ever punish your child by not feeding them food.
Amen.
That would be wrong. Hint, hint. God would never punish you by not healing you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
That would be wrong. Because healing, Jesus said, is the children's bread. Remember the Syrophoenician woman, the Greek lady came wanting healing for her devil-possessed daughter? And Jesus said, I can't give the children's bread, which is for the Jews, God's people, and cast it to the dogs. She said, oh, come on, even the dogs, you get some crumbs. Ah, pretty wise, pretty wise. Okay. The point is not who gets it, because now all of God's kids can have it. But it's called children's bread. To get set free from demons or oppression or anxiety or whatever, or to be healed physically, it's what you deserve. Without earning it. You're a child who needs to eat. I'm God's kid. I need to stay alive. I need to be free. It does not need to be earned. Your children do not earn their food. That's why Jesus said it's the children's bread. It's free.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Just come get it. So rather than think to yourself, I'm going to see if God will heal me. I'm going to try and see if God will heal me. Okay, you've already missed it. You've already missed it. No, the attitude is, I'm going to go get me some. I'm hungry, I'm going to eat.
Amen.
I'm going to go get me some. Rather than I'm going to see if he'll do it. No, he is a healer. He is healer. That's it. That's who he is. There's no question. Go get you some. Glory. Is everybody in Mark chapter 5? Well, you should be in 5. I'm in 5. I don't know what happened. We need a commitment to our healer. A commitment that he is my healer. A commitment to scriptures like Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Commit to that. He heals all, well, first of all, he forgives all my iniquities. Everybody say that out loud. He forgives all my iniquities. That means he forgives all my immorality. Say it. He forgives all my immorality. He forgives all my sins. Therefore, I'm clean. He forgives them all. Which sins? All sins. He forgives all your iniquities. All your sins. So don't let guilt stop you. Focus and commit to Psalm 103. He forgives all my sins. The devil says, yeah, but look what you did last week. He forgives all my sins. All my sins. Do you understand what all means, devil? All. Not that you should be talking to the devil, but you need to get that in your soul. No, all. Even the one that I don't want to forgive myself about. And that's really what happens to us. We don't want to forgive ourselves. We kind of want to beat ourselves up because of one or two or whatever shortcoming really bothers you about yourself. But you have to know that he forgives you even of that one.
Amen.
He forgives all your iniquities. Now you can approach him feeling better. And he heals all your diseases. All your diseases. All your diseases. He heals all your diseases. All. Hallelujah. So, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? He looked around to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Notice he called her daughter. There's that father-child relationship again. Why didn't he call her sister? Woman. Well, because she was a daughter of Abraham. In this case, she was a daughter of Abraham. We're sons and daughters of God. And he said her faith made her well. Notice what her faith was able to do. Her faith was able to pull the power of God out of the Son of God without him even knowing she was there.
Amen. Wow.
Interesting, isn't it? Without him even doing anything, she pulled it out. You and I can pull it out of God without him doing anything.
Amen.
You don't need to convince God to do anything.
Amen.
You just need to pull it out of him. He's healer. Go get him. Jesus is walking around this church today. You know, Jesus is here. You can't see him, but I promise you he's here. I promise.
Amen.
Without even seeing a vision, he is here.
Amen.
I promise you.
That's right.
I promise. Amen. Even though my yes is yes and I don't need to promise, I know because God promised that if we're together in his name, he's there.
Amen.
Jesus is here. He's on row number 2 right now. He's just hanging out, loving us, enjoying. He's enjoying you, enjoying the Word. He's here. He's on row 8 right about now. All we do is we reach out with the hand of faith, reach out with our heart in total trust, total childlike faith, and say, yes, touch. Yes, I'm touching the garment. This woman was so utterly convinced. She had already decided, when I touch him, it's over. I will be healed when I touch. And she was healed when she touched.
Amen.
If you're 100% confident of something like that, you'll get it just like she did. If you're 87% sure, hey, at least you'll get it. I mean, at least you'll pass and you'll get it. It may not be quite as instant. I mean, she knew immediately. As soon as she touched, the spiritual power came out of Jesus, touched her so much that she knew it. And she knew she was healed. That happens to some people sometimes. Instantly, they know that they got it. Other times, people don't know until the next day or maybe 3 days later. Or maybe 2 weeks later, they realize, wow, forgot. I don't have that problem anymore. It doesn't matter when it happens.
Amen.
As long as it happens.
Amen.
And as long as it happens before we die.
Yes.
I mean, it does need to happen.
Glory.
And it ought to happen soon.
Yes.
So if it doesn't happen soon, then you need to come back and let's do a redo. The point is, your faith and your expectancy can grab it from God. Simple as that. Just grab it. Grab it from. There's no convincing that's needed.
That's right.
Well, let me convince God with my church attendance and my long prayer and my perfect behavior. You can't convince God. He's already healer.
That's right.
And you can't earn healing.
Right.
Well, now, God, you know, I've been eating organic food now for 3 years, and I just don't know why. I mean, couldn't I, you know, I cut out this and I cut out that, and they told me to cut out everything, and all I'm eating is rabbit food, and here I am. You can't earn it. But you know, Lord, I'm in better shape than ever. Oh, you just blew it. You can't earn it. You can't merit healing. You can't merit salvation or healing. You have to just go get you some. You have to go up like a kid and say, whew, I'm starving today. Whew. And you can't do it with that weird, the weird thought. Yeah, there's a weird way to come to, you know, where you're kind of mad that he hadn't healed you yet. You can't go to God that way. Well, how long is it going to take? I've just been waiting and waiting and waiting. I need some healing, God. And an attitude adjustment is what you need. But anyway. But I want you to see this. Look back at verse 30. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power, King James says virtue, but it's really power. Dunamis. Power had gone out of him. He knew power went out of him. He felt it. You know, you can feel spiritual power.
Yes.
Many times when we minister to the sick, we can feel power go out of us. Sometimes people receiving healing can feel power go into them. Not always. And so you can't go off of feeling. But sometimes you can feel power. Maybe not even to the flesh. Your flesh doesn't feel the power. It's a spiritual thing that you feel. You understand? So when you get prayed for or ministered to, don't look for a physical thing. Sometimes people come with a pain. I got a pain right here. And you pray for them and they're like, yep, I still got a pain right there. And they're focused on the physical pain.
That's a good word.
And that's not really how you receive healing. You can't go like that. You're going by sight. You have to go with your heart only. Connect to God spiritually. Shake it off for a moment, expecting,
amen,
without looking. I'm not saying just ignore completely whether you're healed or not. Eventually, you'll have to assess it. But don't let that be your first evidence. My first evidence is that my heart leaped.
Amen.
When hands were laid on me, I felt warmth in my spirit or something. Let some other connector be the first decision point. No, I decided in my heart, and I flipped a switch. What do you mean you flipped a switch? I don't know, but I flipped it. What do you? How did you? What does it feel like to flip a switch? I don't know, but I felt like I flipped a switch in my spirit. My faith came alive. I connected. I felt something spiritually. Bam, that's your first evidence. I don't care what you look like or feel like in the next few moments or the next few days. You did it there. That's how you receive healing. So when we tell people after we minister to check yourself or move or do something, that doesn't mean make the pain come again. Like, don't do the thing that makes you, that causes pain. Just act like you're free. Do something that you would do if you were well. Just do it. Just act like, you know, just move. Just do something. It's really just to activate your faith. It's not to decide to look at your flesh. Don't look at your flesh to see. Even though sometimes we want to make you so everybody can see if you're well or not. Power can come out of us. The good news is power is already in you. Romans 8:11 says that the Spirit of Him who raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us. And if He does, then the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also make alive our mortal body. I've been healed just by reading Romans 8:11. Just by reading it. First time it ever happened to me, I was getting sick, had like a flu or something. And I read Romans 8:11, and it felt like a pill went into me. I mean, I felt like a... And it hit me. Ha! That was it. I went to bed, closed my Bible, woke up well. That scripture, though, connects us to God's Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit makes your flesh alive. Remember, Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. But the Spirit quickens. The Spirit makes alive. My words are spirit and life. The Word needs to be spirit to you. So Word and Spirit, they're hard to distinguish the difference. They go together. You with me? The power of God is here. He's in you. All we do is stir Him up. All we do is connect to Him. All we do is loose Him. All we do is expect Him to make me well, to mend my body, to scare off demons. And that's the second point. First point is to come like a child. Second point is the power of God is enough and is needed to reject or eject demons. And I'm not trying to get Christians all demon conscious like everybody's got one, no. But demons come in different forms. One way they come is through oppression. The lying, anxious thoughts, if they're not resisted, the devil will notice that and sit there and enjoy making you miserable. Depression comes many times from demons that weren't rejected the first 50 times they came with the thought. So depression demons sit on top of people and put people in a headlock, and they don't know it. So you might need to be free from that kind of demon oppression. Okay? The other way demons afflict people is through spirits of infirmity. So sickness and disease is in kind of a medical category, but really they're separate. Like some problems are caused by, like, if you broke your arm, we would know you broke your arm. There's no devil there necessarily, unless it didn't heal. If a broke arm didn't heal, there might be a spirit of infirmity. But demons come in the form of spirits of infirmity. Remember in the book of Luke, I think chapter, 11, 13? The lady was bowed over with a spirit of infirmity and she couldn't lift herself up. It was like a locked joint. Her back was locked. She couldn't lift herself up. And Jesus said, shouldn't this woman, this daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day that Satan has bound low these 13 years or whatever? Satan bound her. And so he just loosed her and she was free. So she was afflicted with a spirit of infirmity that affected her joints. To me, that sounds like a certain affliction today. What is it called?
Arthritis.
Yeah, arthritis many times is a spirit of infirmity in my experience. Okay? Probably not always, but in my experience, we have seen the spirit of arthritis come out of people instantly when we told it to. So demons afflict people that way, but the power of God is greater.
Amen.
The power of God is the power we get with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you'll get power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And then you'll go do some crazy stuff. He didn't say that, but he said you'll go do what I've been doing. You'll be witnesses unto me. So you have to know that the power of God will, it'll reject demons. Demons don't like the power of God. And that's why when Jesus would come close, demons would cause the people to fall down and worship. Remember the Gadarenian demoniac? You know, demons eventually get thrown in the lake of fire with the devil. They're not in the lake of fire right now. Demons don't get to go there right now. They don't want to go there right now because it will hurt them. The lake of fire is a fire that will burn even demons and devils. Satan himself. Some people think that, you know, Satan lives in hell. Like he lives in the fire and he's got his pitchfork and he's got his foot up on somebody and the demons are all enjoying the fire. No, no, no. Demons and Satan hate fire. Satan does not live in hell. He lives in the earth. He walks about the earth like a roaring lion. You understand? He was cast to the earth. He's in the earth. Demons are in the earth looking for somebody to mess with, some place to live so they can enjoy this life or get some comfort, or cause somebody torment. So, no, the devil is not from hell. That's his eternal place one day. He hates fire. The power of God is fire. You know, the Holy Spirit is likened unto fire. Brother Frank had a vision a couple weeks ago about the fire of God, that it was locked up in a box and God wanted to get it out of us. And so, yeah, let's release that. But he made this statement to me. He said, but the fire that I saw, it wasn't hot fire. It wasn't hot. It was intense. That's exactly right. The fire of God does not burn people. The fire that sat upon their heads in the day of Pentecost was not hot fire. It could have been a little warm, but it wasn't burning fire. It was intense, holy fire that does a spiritual work. It'll burn up your character flaws and it'll burn up demons. Not completely. It's like if a demon touches the fire of God or the power of God, it's like a hand touching a hot frying pan. Ah! My friend Angelo Metropolis had a message called Frying Devils. You gotta fry them devils. Well, you get the power of God on them and let's fry them. You need to know that the power of God is enough to make your problems go. You got to stir the fires. Expect the demons to obey and they will. The problem is we expect to pray a long prayer rather than expect demons to leave. You need to expect demons to leave. Whether it's up here in church or whether it's at your prayer closet, people go expecting, I'm going to go, and I'm going to pray to God that He will heal me and set me free. I'm going to go pray to God. Okay, here I'm going. I'm going to pray to God. And what you end up doing is praying to God. Turn the dial, couple notches. What you need to do is go expect, okay, I'm expecting the demons to go right now. Okay, here I'm going. I'm going to go address this, and demons are going to go. Infirmities are going to go. Pain's going to go. Sickness going to go. Problems going to go. Oppression's going to go. Depression's going to go now. That's my expectation. I'm coming up to the front. That's it. It's going. I'm going so that it will go. See the difference? We can't allow ourselves to be victims of everything. And that's where Christians fail. The first thought of a sickness almost deflates us. Oh my gosh, I feel a flu coming on. Oh, chicken soup me, everybody. or report from the doctor. Oh, I mean, how crippling is a report from the doctor? And we fail in the first 15 seconds. The battle really needs to be won. Amen. In the first 15 seconds. That's where you rise on top or you succumb. 15 seconds. Okay, 15 minutes. We'll give you 15 minutes. 15 minutes to come to your senses and realize you're already a victor.
Amen.
You're not a victim.
Amen.
We feel victimized. We feel like our first thought is, oh no, I thought I was a good Christian. I thought God loved me. Just weird stuff. You can't let yourself go there. The first thought has to be that, I'm a child. I'm a child. I get the bread. I get the bread. I refuse. Oh, no, 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 no. What I'm running from is that giving in. I'm running from the giving into it, I'm a champion. Look, we're champions. We won. We got the belt. Everybody has a belt. We own the title. So when an opposer comes, we don't feel weak about it. We say, no, I'm the champ. And then we get in their face, you know, like they do. You don't have to bring railing accusation against the devil. You just need to have an attitude. It's an attitude of victor, not victim. Okay? We need confidence in the power. Confidence that there's power available when we need it. That your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith would not stand in how sophisticated your thinking is. I'm the most rational person I can think of. I know so many more scriptures than most. And I just don't know why I wouldn't be able to receive. Maybe it's because, I wonder if it's because, it's probably because. Look, why don't you hush up and come get you some food? See, that's where the devil beats us up. We get so complicated when little kids, sinners running in getting healed.
Amen.
Got to keep it simple. The power of God is for us. It's available to us. We just need some. You can get it from somebody else. You can get it from yourself. You can combine the two. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1 says, then Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Stop there. Notice the scene. It's a beggar wanting money. He wasn't looking for healing, was he? But he was expecting something. That is a key element to healing. You'll need to expect something. Those that you pray for will need to expect something. So don't ever just tell somebody, okay, well, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. You can't do it that way. If you want to see power do a mighty thing, that's not what you say. There's been a whole lot of Christians praying a whole lot of prayers under that guise, and nothing happens. You know it, and I know it. Okay, well, I'll pray for you. That's good. We'll support them in prayer. We'll uplift them. Okay, you can do that. But for the power, you're going to need something else. You're going to need to see them expect something. And if they're not expecting anything, you got to get them to expect something. This man here wasn't expecting anything. He did alms. That's what they did. Alms, alms, alms. And Peter walked by and said, look at us. Did he yell? I don't know. I'm just putting that in there. But it was somehow, look at us, look up here. What is he doing? He's getting attention. He's getting the man he's shaking the man out of his stuck place. Look at us, look up here. So then the man was expecting something. What? What are you going to give me? I don't have any money, but I'm going to give you something else. The man got healed because he was expecting something. He wasn't even expecting the right thing and he got it. That's one of the secrets to healing. You got to get people to expect something. You need to expect something if you're going to get healed. Honestly, many times we're not expecting much. Especially if we've been prayed for more than once or twice or 10 times. Hardly expecting anything. I'm kind of expecting to be, kind of discouraged again. When I quoted a scripture, hundreds of times to get healed, what am I expecting? Well, after about 100 times of quoting a scripture, I'm having to work on my expector. But then all of a sudden you start putting a little emphasis on each thing you've done and each thing you've said, and who am I really in Christ, and am I really a child of God who gets the healing bread, and what is my confession about myself? Am I really the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Am I really more than a conqueror through Him who loved me? Am I really always caused to triumph in Christ? Am I really over all serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me? Am I really the healed of God? Is He really Jehovah Rapha to me? And then you start affirming who you really are. Yes, yes. He says yes to me. All of His promises are yes to me. Yes, He's loved me with an everlasting love. Yes, He always heals all my diseases, all my diseases, all my diseases, all my diseases, all my diseases. What am I doing? I'm affirming the fact of what this relationship is. I'm child, He's healer. That's all I'm doing. I'm victor, He's father. He's God, I'm certain. All these things about who you are. Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man really didn't have any faith, you can tell him, because there's a verse 7. Verse 7, it wouldn't have been needed if the man had faith. The man would have just obeyed. He'd have just hopped up when Peter said, get up. But he didn't really have much faith. So Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. There's times when you don't have to be Mr. Faith person to get healed. Just get a little help from somebody. Be simple. Be childlike. Get a little help from somebody, and then they can help you. Their faith can help you. Now, if you're a mature Christian, it's a little different. Mature Christians, disciples who've been around a long time, there's an element where there is more required of you. Your faith is going to have to develop some so that you add enough into the mix. Right? You can't just come doubtful and unbelieving and worried and fretful and careless and still get it sometimes. You follow me? Mature Christians have a little bit more responsibility put on them by God. Skip down. So Peter... we'll read the rest. So he, verse 8, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then he explained, they were amazed. And so he said, verse 12, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So notice what he blames the miracle on. Peter says the name of Jesus did it. It was through faith in his name. And so here's the third point I wanted to add, is faith in the name of Jesus. Come like a child, looking for the power, expecting the power, having confidence in the power, and then using the name of Jesus and knowing what it means. What this means here is that Peter said, in the name of Jesus, you do something. Basically, when Jesus was here, Jesus never said, I'm going to heal the sick in my name. No, when he was here, we didn't need his name. When Jesus was here, we just needed Jesus. But when Jesus left, he had to leave his name. So he left Peter his name. He left the apostles his name. He left us his name, which is the same as having his person here. People say, well, I just need him to appear to me and tell me. No, his name's here. If I could just see Jesus and touch his garment, I could be healed. No, he's not here, but his name's here. Touch his name. Having the name is equal to having the person. Legally, it's equal. If I were to walk out the room and delegate authority to somebody, okay, in my name, I want you to close the service. Say a prayer. You have full authority, don't you? That means everybody has to listen to you, and if they don't, they're going to answer to me. That's delegated authority in my name. That's all Jesus did. He said, in my name, you're going to say things and it's going to work. In my name, you're going to lay some hands and it's going to work. In my name, you're going to cast out demons and it's going to work. It's like if I was there, but I'm not there, so you got to use my name. Just say in my name and I'll be there. So if you have a pain and sickness in your body, you point to it and tell it to go. In the name of Jesus, go. Go. Now. In the name of Jesus. Like he's here. He's here. He's here. Now you go. Some of you didn't quite catch that. If you have a pain right now, pain, this is where you're hurting right now. Something's painful to you in your body. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand. Enough of you. Take your finger. Don't say anything yet. Put it on the pain if it's appropriate. Now there's going to be power. There's power. There's power. There's power, okay? All right, there he is right there. Now say this. Say, in the name of Jesus, go!
In the name of Jesus, go!
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 In the name!
In the name!
Now!
Now!
I think somebody got it. Yeah. Take a deep breath. Everybody relax. Move your arms, your chest, your head, whatever, something. I rebuke the pain in the name of Jesus. That means Jesus walks by and just wipes it off you. I think something happened. I mean, I felt like something happened to some people. But I want to tell you, that's how you make it work. If you can't tell a difference yet, just hang in there. Rejoice and go home. I mean, not yet. We got a few things to do here. If you can't tell a difference, that's okay. Just rejoice about it for a while. You don't want to be too tied to the feelings. Just be tied to your heart and keep that on for a few days. That's how you get healed. Yep. And as you know, anytime a demon's kicked out, anytime the devil's kicked out, anytime sickness is kicked out, it walks around dry places seeking rest, finds none, comes back to the house, says, let me back in. There might be a little counterattack. There might be a little something next week. Don't let that, the reaction to that is not, oh no, I thought I was well, but I must have just been in my mind. How many times has the devil said that to people? No, that's when you say, I got healed of you already, buddy. I mean, don't call him buddy, but I got healed of you already. Or just a simple, no, out. There's no, I'm not playing any 15-second games with you, out. That's how you keep your healing. And you might have to do that 3 weeks in a row. Could be 3 months in a row. Just do it enough until your resistance causes him to flee. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you get healed, you fight every counterattack, and then there's this long season of 15 months, 15 years, whatever. Maybe forever. The bottom line is you have to resist him. Amen. Maybe it's depression. You get healed of depression, you feel wonderful for a day, but Monday comes. And you think, oh no, I thought I was healed, but it must have just been in my mind. I was just excited. No, that's the devil, or that's just your human reasoning ruining the miracle. No, if you feel depression next week, you resist it. No, out. And you jump up and you go do something, like shop or something. If you have depression and you get well, you need to, You need to start laughing or doing something at home, and then you need to jump up and go be around people. Do the exact opposite of what depressed people don't do. That's how you stay well. But you don't sit there on the couch just thinking about how life's got you. No, don't do that. That's what the devil's done to get you there. Jump up and do the opposite. The devil has to flee you in the name of Jesus. Spirits of infirmity have to flee your body in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You got to believe it. As soon as you believe it, they'll go.
Yeah.
And that's why we just had somebody get healed from laughing. Somebody came and said, hey, you know, I've just been dealing with something. I said, you know, it just came to me. You need to laugh. You're not happy. And unhappy people never get healed. They just don't get healed. They really just don't get healed. Or at least after you get healed, you got to get happy about it. And then you can stay healed. And she began for 3 days to laugh more. Saw some funny stuff. Had some laughs. Free. That's part of the faith process. Okay, well. His name, through faith in His name, did the miracle. We know God did the miracle. We know the power did the miracle. But His name triggered it all. Or we could say His name was there. Or we could say Jesus was there and He did it. When you say the name of Jesus, He's there. And you need to know that. It needs to be so big. When you say in Jesus' name, it needs to be so big that it hits your ceiling. Just fills the room. Ooh, God's here. God just came in. When you say that, when you invoke the name of Jesus, it's like God came in. And if He comes in the room, everything else goes.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved, and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.